How many of you looked to see what the title of the sermon is today?
Yay. A
couple people here and there. Okay. So what is worship? That's the title of the sermon. Now, I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous being up here for the sermon time. I'm used to when teaching or talking in front of a group, I have to keep all my sentences relatively short and to the point because someone's going to be translating it into Zulu or Sotho, and so I say something, I pause, they translate, I say something, back and forth. And that actually makes the sermons a little longer. They could be a little compressed today, so they might even be a little shorter. I don't know how it's going to work. I also have to warn you that we tend to live on African time, so I promise that we're going to be done by, at least two. Yeah. Okay. So.
But first, San Bonani, everybody.
Yeah, Sani Bonani. Sani Bonani.
It's Zulu. It means we see you. So nice to see everybody today.
And I actually should have stood up and said, my name is Doug Linscott, and I greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, before I started saying anything. Because that's what, when someone stands up to speak in a Zulu meeting, that's what they say.
Because he is our reason for meeting.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So. This is Doug Linscott. I am Wendy Linscott, in case anyone doesn't know.
That's true. There are some new faces out there, and we probably should introduce ourselves. For those of you who don't know, we used to go to this church. We're still members in good standing, as far as I know. But for the last 4 years, we've been serving in South Africa with an HIV/AIDS ministry that's called Etembeni. Okay. And so we're back here just to let people know what God's been doing in South Africa. And because I know that many of you here in the church support us, I know the church supports us, and that's wonderful. Thank you for that. But mostly we just want you to know what God is doing down there, because he's doing great things. Now, let's see. I have bifocals these days. And they're fun because you look down here and it's like, I look through the bifocals and it's blurry, but if I try to look straight, it's not quite right. Okay. So now, some of us probably wonder where we fit in when it comes to worship or other things in life. And I think about a little guy named Jamie Scott when I think about that. Jamie was trying out for a school play. And he really wanted to get a part in the school play. Now, his mom told me that he had his heart set on it. But she was afraid that maybe he wouldn't get picked because she didn't think he was really that, maybe not that talented, I'm not sure. On the day that the parts were awarded, I went with her to collect him from school. And Jamie rushed up to his mom. His eyes were shining with pride and excitement. "Guess what, Mom?" he shouted. And then he said words that will always stick with me. He said, "I've been chosen to clap and cheer." And he was thrilled. You know? Now, some of you know, Wendy and I used to be actors for a living. And there's a saying in the theater, there are no small parts, there are just small actors.
It's so interesting that the whole Sunday school time, and even your praise and bees nodding with me. It's exactly right. Yes. Because you've been talking about service. You've been talking about the heart and the fact that what it is to serve God and what it looks like. And it's so exciting because we were talking about Acts as well in Sunday school. In Acts, it was talking about the fact that some people were being neglected and how people were brought in to serve as well. So it's just so exciting to see the body of Christ working together. Well done, everybody.
You want to read the verse?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, my husband's been so good and written it all down. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Mm.
Okay. And you know, we often think of, this might sound like a strange verse to have to do with worship in certain ways, because we often think of worship as that singing time before the sermon, or maybe it's listening to that your favorite CD that just moves you, you know. But according to the Bible, that's not exactly what worship is. And I'm going to be honest. Some of what I'm going to be saying, Wendy and I have been using this great devotional. It's there's a ministry in South Africa called In Context, and they kind of keep track of world events, and particularly in regards to how they affect the persecuted church. And so the devotional kind of comes at things from a different perspective sometimes. And I thought he had some really good points, and I wanted to share some of those with you. The first one is, looking at these verses from Romans, that the first thing is that there's our motivation to worship. Now, we worship God, yes, because He deserves it. Let's face it. But let's be honest with ourselves, we also worship Him because of His mercies for us. It's what He's done for us that gets us to worship Him. And that can be anything. It's eternal life. It's His Holy Spirit. It's the grace that He gives us. It's, you know, the fact that He works through us. And that always amazes me anyway, that He can work through us. God's grace has been described as not getting from God what we deserve. God's mercy can best be described as getting from God what we don't deserve. Okay. And then there's the manner of our worship. I know that in the church, sometimes there have been churches that have actually split over worship styles. I don't think God cares that much about worship styles.
Oh, sorry.
Did I offend anyone? Okay, good. Okay, great. If you look at these verses in Romans, presenting ourselves wholly to God in a daily sacrifice. That is what worship is. You know? We talk about enjoying worship, but in truth, what's enjoyable about being a sacrifice? You know? We are asked to give everything we are to God as our reasonable service, as one translation puts it. And it's a funny thing that from a biblical point of view, worship isn't really for our benefit. You know, sometimes you come out of a service and you go, wow, I really, really enjoyed that worship service this morning. Yeah. But a worship service isn't supposed to be for our benefit. It's for the glory of God. And so that's where we want our focus to be. You know, I think there was somebody a while back that said, it was an audience of one. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who, what, there was some group that kind of came up with that phrase. Might have been Philip, Craig, and Dean, but I'm not sure. And that really is it. When we're worshiping, it's not about us, it's about Him. And that's where we want our focus to be. And then there's our active worship. Now, Romans talks about the renewing of our minds. We cleanse our minds daily. And my pages are slipping off. There we go. Stay. No? Okay. There we go. I'm looking at a certain spot on the page, and if it slips down, you're going to get a very confused sermon. Okay. But it's conforming our minds daily to the wisdom of God. And that's a very difficult thing to do, to be honest. It means turning away from the wisdom of the world, which is where we're at most of the time. And it's seeking God in every aspect of our lives. Yeah. The highest form of worship that we can give is being obedient to Him and to His Word. Now, there are two additional verses I wanted to look at. I'm just going to read them real quick, but chances are you're familiar with them anyways, particularly the one in Matthew, but there's one in Isaiah. We've got to say it right over here. In South Africa, they say words sometimes differently. Yeah. I've gotten used to saying Isaiah because everybody says Isaiah, and if I say Isaiah, they don't know who I'm talking about.
But it's the right one.
Isaiah, yes, you're right. Isaiah is the right one. You know, okay. If you look in Isaiah 58, and you look at verses, I think it's 3 to 9, and it says, "Why do we fast, but you do not see? Why humble ourselves, but you do not notice?" This is Israel talking to God. "Look, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to strike with a wicked fist. Such fasting as you do today will not make your voice heard on high. Is such the fast that I choose, a day to humble yourself? Is it to bow down the head like a bulrush and to lie in sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast, an acceptable day to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light will shine or will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you, and the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. You shall call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" So God doesn't just want great worship services. You know, he doesn't mind great worship services. But, you know, I think there's something out there on the... It says something about going out into the mission field or something like that at the front of the church there. I've seen churches that had that. Just over the doorpost as you're walking out, it says going into the mission field. Basically, when you leave church, that's when the real work of worship begins. And I'm only going to read half of this because it's a little long. But in Matthew 25, verse 31, I'm going to start at. Says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a sheep separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on at the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? When was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.'" Of course, then he goes on to give a negative example, but we're not going to go into the negative example right now. These verses get fulfilled in many ways by the church, and I'm talking the church, not any particular church. I know that you guys have, I can't remember the name of it, but you guys have a food program for students. Thank you. See, when you're gone for 4 years, you just lose track. But you have that program to feed the kids in the school. And then Dick was talking about... welcoming neighbors into the community. Yeah. I think when you're a new person in a new country, it is scary, you know? And you really are thankful when someone just comes along and says, "Hey, you know, come over for a cup of tea or something, you know? And maybe we can get together for a barbecue, you know? And so we're here for you." And so these verses actually have been an inspiration for Wendy and I. The verses in Matthew were the first ones that, when we first got called to go to South Africa, those were the verses that God was using to call us. And I think the ones in Isaiah as well work towards that. Okay, Kim, it's time for the slideshow! Because we'd like to just go into now a little bit about what Wendy and I have been doing over in South Africa for the last few years. And, whoo, that certainly comes out weird. Okay, well, let's see.
It's actually a map of Africa, and then South Africa.
It looks very grainy compared to what it usually looks like.
The little purple arrow is where we are in Howick.
A little place called Howick. This is Durban on the coast, and Howick is about an hour and a half, 2 hours towards the highlands from Durban, and just to the little bit further east. There we go. That's much better. You see the country in the center that's totally surrounded by South Africa. That's the country of Lesotho. It's known as the Mountain Kingdom. And it's called that because it's in the middle of the Drakensberg Mountains. Now, the Drakensberg Mountains are some very high mesas. I visited Lesotho a few years ago, and I realized, hey, I was getting a little out of breath, and so I started doing some math, and I realized that it was another 2,000 feet higher than Paradise on Mount Rainier, the village we were in. And so we get a lot of people from Lesotho in our area. We'll talk about that in a minute. But let's just go on. One of the reasons we wanted to show you a map of the whole continent of Africa is because I've actually run into some people. I say, we work in South Africa. And they say, what country? Americans are not known for their geography sometimes. They don't realize there's a country called South Africa. Okay, next slide, please. Okay. Did you want to do this one?
This is Mapopomeni. Can everyone? Mapopomeni is the area, is the little town that we work with. Yeah, in Zulu, your H becomes quiet, Mapopomeni. So Howick is the main town, and then this the township of Howick is Mapopomeni. And in apartheid times, they actually took people out of the main town and put them in separate places. So that's where we work. And it's amazing. Yeah. You see the water? That's Lake... oh, my goodness.
What?
Midmar Dam.
Midmar Dam,
And yes. When they say dam, it means it's actually a man-made lake.
Yes.
And Midmar Dam. And so it's really... If you stand at the top looking out of Mapopomeni, it's really prime property. But very few people will live there because... A lot of the huts are mud, and they're just shanty, you know, not shanty, but small little houses. No one will come live there that wants to pay lots of money. Yeah. But they've got a very beautiful view.
One of the interesting things about Mapopomeni is that even Zulus who get really good jobs, they prefer to live in Mapopomeni just because they're around people who speak Zulu. Yeah. So you have some homes that are as nice as anybody's home that you might find in Howick, in the European section of the area. But and then just down the street, there's a mud hut. Yeah. And then there might be a cinder block house over here. And, you know, it just goes on that way. One thing that just, most of you probably know this, but for those of you who don't know us that well, Mapopomeni has a population of about 44,000. It has a 43% AIDS rate, yeah, which is a little, well, and by American standards, is a little high. Well, okay, next slide, and I'll explain why I say that's a little high. Oops, no, should be back one.
No.
Oh, what happened to, oh, shoot. Okay, sorry, there must be another set of slides that, I bet there's two Lynn Scott slides, but that's all right, don't worry about it. Okay, stay there for the time being. I did have slides, and I'll have to find them somewhere because they should have been on there. One is there's a town that we work in called Chios. Now, Chios, what's the longer name? I always forget. Chios Bazazi, which means freedom from parents. What it is it's what in South Africa they refer to as an informal settlement. What it means is it's a shanty town. They get most of their building materials from a local Dunlop tire company, and when they're done with their pallets, they give them to the people. And that's what most of their homes are built out of, except for the occasional corrugated steel roof and that kind of thing. In the town of Chios, the AIDS rate is about 90%. So, excuse me, long night. And then we also have another town, which I really wish I had the slide up there, but I always warn people when they come to visit, if they're going to visit when, like when we're coming back, we're going to be going back in the end of June, we're going back to winter. And most people think, Africa, always hot. There's a picture of Moy River, which is one of the towns we work in. It's got snow on the cars about so deep. Because it really does get cold in South Africa. And most of the homes don't have central heating. So if you're cold, you put on sweatpants, you put on a nice sweater. And, you know, you maybe if you're going to just sit and watch TV or something, you wrap yourself in a blanket and you enjoy yourself. You know, you have a nice cup of tea and it keeps you warm. Yeah. But there really is cold in Africa. Yeah. So, okay, then we come to this slide. Okay. And I believe, no, go back. That one. Yeah.
It's Mbeni, who we work with, has three arms to it. The first one is development. Because it's Mbeni realized that with the introduction of ARVs, antiretroviral treatment, that people live longer, that they need to be developed. So you've had people who are sick, and they've been dying, and now they're getting better, so they can live life longer. So there's a development side of Etimbeni now, and there's a prevention side because people still don't know enough about AIDS, so that there's talking about education and telling people how not to and what to and how to work with it, that type of thing. Lots of testing for ARVs, HIV, and then also for TB because along with HIV, your immune system gets low, and then you are very vulnerable to tuberculosis. And that is extremely, a very spreadable disease. So very contagious. And then there's the care part of Etimbeni. It's the care arm. So the people who are sick and who have been affected by HIV and AIDS, there is a care ministry. So if they're hungry, we come along and feed them. If they are needing extra help getting grants and bursaries and that type of thing, the care team will come along and do that with them. And that's where Doug and I slot into Etimbeni. We don't necessarily do the HIV testing, and we don't necessarily do development straight out. You have, if anyone's been floating around, there's some jewelry back there. In the care ministry, I do land up helping and are very excited to be part of the craft department for Etimbeni. So all the lovely jewelry back there has been handcrafted by people that we work with. And it's very exciting because it's mostly just paper beads. So they're made from cardboard boxes. So you think, wow, they're pretty. They are. But they're made from cardboard boxes, and it's really fun to be part of. I think we've now got officially got jewelry in two shops. And so we really want to get into more. But that's the thought, is to get the quality up so that people can be supplemented by the stuff that they make. So it's very exciting.
Okay, next slide. Okay, so aspects of care ministry. Basically, there's three parts that we're involved with. One is Bible study, and then the crafts, which Wendy was just talking about, and then Thursday visitation. Now, actually, I think we have slides for each of these. So let's go to the next one. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit more about crafts.
I think you already did.
Okay, so this just shows some of our crafts people. You can see there's actually guys in the upper right-hand one. There's actually guys who do crafts as well. One of our actually best, what's the right word, jewelryists? Is that?
Jeweler.
One of our best jewelers is actually a fellow named Mzamo, and he really does good work. He's a wonderful guy. But you can also see on the left-hand side, we've caught them in the fact that we also have a devotional time and a worship time whenever we get together for crafts. Yeah. And so that shows some of that too. We're also doing some in the center one. It shows some. We started doing hearts, like little key ring hearts that are stuffed with cloth. Yeah. And now we're doing Africa's as well. So that's kind of fun. Okay, next slide. Okay. Now, I teach, one of my main jobs with Etembeni right now, it has shifted over the years we've been there. I'm sort of like the staff Bible study guy. I don't know if I'm a Bible scholar, but I can do the job. And over on the left-hand side is, I'm teaching to a group in Chios, which is the informal settlement. And we're just, at that time when that picture was taken, we were meeting in kind of a courtyard, and there were like five homes that all kind of opened out under this one courtyard. And I would just have Bible study there on Saturday mornings. Then we shifted to the place in the center, which you can't see it real clearly, but it says Scotty's Butchery on there, which I always think of my brother when I saw that. But we would just meet inside, and we'd have Bible study on Saturday morning. And then the lady who's going like this, I told her she had to imitate everything I did, because one Saturday, none of the adults showed up for Bible study, but we had about 12 kids. So I told them the story of Jonah with all sorts of antics and dramatization, and you know, and I told Zonki that she had to imitate me. She's one of my great translators, Zonki. Were you going to tell that story later about? Okay, I'll let her tell the story later. The picture at the bottom is actually right across the street from where we're doing the Bible study right now, and it's a shebeen. Now, it looks like it's got a bit of fencing around it. That's razor wire. Well, razor wire is very popular in South Africa. Maybe at lunch I'll tell you guys a joke about it, but I'm not going to do it right now. But usually if you've got a cement wall or something, you'll have circular razor wire across the top just to keep people out. And trust me, the stuff works. I have sliced my fingers on razor wire several times just trying to do things. A shebeen is an unlicensed pub. And on Saturday mornings, they're going full swing. And so it's not so bad where we are, because it actually sounds like they're kind of serenading us. But I'm usually parked next to the shebeen, and I'm surprised my windows haven't shattered from the sound, you know, because it's really loud on that side of the street. But we have a great time. It seems like wherever I have a Bible study, there's always a shebeen nearby that gets to serenade us on Saturday mornings. Okay. And so that's what I do. I teach three Bible studies at the moment. I do two for the staff, one for the men on Wednesday mornings, one for anybody who wants to show up on Thursday morning before we go out on visitation. And then I do the one in Chios. We're hoping to get a fourth one started when we get back. The town of Moy River, where the snow is, sometimes in the wintertime. We wanted to get Alpha Course started there, just going through the Alpha Course. We're not going to have the dinner and everything like you do when you do an Alpha Course here in the States. But we want the staff there to go through the Alpha Course so we're all on the same page, so we know where we're all coming from theologically and that kind of thing. Unfortunately, in the town of Moy River, the locals were getting really perturbed with the municipality because they weren't getting services of electricity and water and things like the, you know, basics. And they started protesting. Now, protesting can generally get out of hand in South Africa very quickly. We're talking tires across the road and light the tires on fire. And people were getting beat up because they were going to the wrong job. If they worked for the municipality, they weren't supposed to go. But they were, because they need to get paid. And so people were getting beat up. And then they actually burned the computer building down at the local high school, which I don't know why that helped anything. But they decided that me with my white beard and light-colored skin probably wouldn't be the best time to go wandering into Moy River. I could have gotten hurt. But we're hoping that things have settled down by now. When I get back, I'll be starting the Alpha Course in Moy River. So,
just wanted to tell you a testimony. Zonke, who you see over there, her and her husband, they were married in 2012, and both been in previous relationships, and both HIV positive, but have really been taking their meds and working hard and eating well and keeping healthy, and their viral counts are really low. And so after a while, they thought that they would try for a little baby. And they have. He's about a...
About
about a year old now.
Mm. Yeah. And he is completely negative. So I think the Lord does great things. Mm. But anyway.
I did want to tell you one quick story about the Bible study. The one I do in Chios, most of the time I have to admit there's like about five women who come really regular, four or five others that come fairly regular. And every once in a while we get some men who actually show up. One Saturday morning we were sitting there and we're having Bible study where I think we were in John chapter 4. And now Bible study is, I read a few verses in English, someone reads it in Zulu, someone reads it in Sotho, and then we start talking and translating and back and forth, you know. And it's great fun. This question came back filtering through the translator. Who is this Jesus Christ anyway? One of the gentlemen, he was probably about my age. He's been a few times now, but this is the first time he'd been there. He was from rural Sotho, had never heard about Jesus. Didn't have any idea who this guy was. And here we are in the middle of this discussion of John chapter 4, and he's like, who is this guy? You know. And so I made sure that I understood the question. And then I quietly closed my Bible, and I just said, let's just translate for me. You know. And I basically tried to tell, you know, who Jesus was, the incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, as quickly, not as quickly, but as clearly as possible, you know, in the short time that we still had in the Bible study. And yet, you know, he was very receptive to it. I'd love to be able to say that he fell on his knees and became a Christian that day. He didn't. Yeah. But he has been back and he's still asking questions. And I think that's wonderful. Because I'm really hoping that eventually, and I'm praying for him that he'll become a Christian. Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next slide. Thursday visitation.
Okay, everybody, do some fundraising. Come to South Africa, please, okay? Okay? our church in California, we've had two young ladies come. One has come to help as well, but it's really fun. On Thursday, all the people... We wanted to talk about worship and what it means to worship and what worship is. And when we were looking at it, I thought, that's the people we work with. That's what they do. Anyway, I don't know why I have to cry so much. For me, I think the people we work with are just amazing because all of them have been sick, have got better, know God, know Jesus, and the reason why they do what they do is because they love the Lord and because they love the community. So on Thursdays, the community that we work with, we have caregivers. And we were talking about this in our Bible study. Azaria was mentioning the fact that in the book of Acts, the Hellenistic people knew the people who were chosen because they knew that language. They knew that community. The same thing works with our care workers. They know the community. They know what the people are going through. So they get chosen and then people come to them and say, I need help. And then on Thursday, we go and visit them and bring the word of God and bring some food and see how we can help them. So it's really fun. It's a lovely time. And if you come and visit, then you would come and do that with us. But anyway, we usually have translators. Don't worry. You don't have to speak Zulu. But yeah, that's what the group of people on the far side, that's what we're all a whole bunch of people who've been visiting that day. And some people who we visited, a sick mom and her daughter that day, and just conditions of the homes that you get. Okay. Next slide.
Before we leave there, actually, just real quick, I just wanted to tell a quick story. I was telling you how they have devotions and worship at the care at the craft time. Well, there was a woman named Maureen who was HIV positive, and you know, she'd been coming to the craft time for a while, about a month and a half, 2 months. And then, basically, we kind of rotate people that we're taking food to. We've got about 80 families affected by AIDS. That we go out on Thursdays with, usually 40 each week. And Maureen became one of the people we were going to go see. She happened to be in my little section that I go to.
And Auntie Busi, who is my main Zulu translator, she was with me that day. And when I go in, I know that there are some people who go out on Thursdays and they pray about it and bless them. You know, the Lord gives them a verse that they should share with everybody. And I think that's wonderful because I'm sure it works. Usually, when I'm going up to a house, I'm going, Lord, what do you want me to share? And I'll start looking, and he always gives me something really... I mean, I've had some wonderful testimonies from the people on the other side of the translation that, wow, that's just what I needed. Yeah. Well, I shared something, and honestly, I don't remember what I shared that day. I shared something. I talked a little bit about it. Busi and Mavis, who's... Mavis is a colored gal, and I'll explain that in a minute because everyone's going, you said colored. Oh, my goodness. I'll just tell you real quick. In South Africa, you have black, white, colored, or Indian. Colored simply means that your heritage was black and white somewhere back when.
And if you're in Isimbeni, they talk about chocolate and peaches and caramel.
That's right. You know, we're trying to get away from all the stereotypes. Yeah. So I'm peach. She was caramel. Busi was chocolate.
There you are.
But Mavis also speaks fluent Zulu. Yeah. And... So I shared what I was sharing, and then Busi and Maureen and Mavis started talking, and I mean, they're talking a mile a minute. I was lost, you know, in the first 5 seconds. I didn't know what they were talking about, so I just kind of quietly prayed, you know, Lord, you know, it's cool. I'm glad they're sharing, you know, and about 5-10 minutes, Maureen becomes a Christian, you know. Because she had been prepared through the craft times and other things. The really cool thing with Maureen becoming a Christian is that about a year ago, Maureen fell into a trance. Now, everyone told her because she had fallen into a trance, the ancestors wanted her to become a Sangoma. Now, a Sangoma is what we would probably call a witch doctor. Yeah. Now, you have to understand, the ancestor worship is the main religion. It's an animistic ancestor worship type thing. That's the primary religion of traditional Zulus. So she was being called to become a Sangoma. So she was a Sangoma in training. Now she's a Christian. Yes! Yeah. So, yeah, I just get thrilled when things like that happen. What can I say? Okay, so next slide. And I'll let Wendy talk about this one. She knows more about it than I do.
He doesn't want to talk about a bunch of moms and babies. It's really exciting to me. We've realized that the adults need care, but also the little ones need care. And so there's a division now, a part of Itumbeni is looking after moms who are pregnant. And once they've had their babies, to look after them as well. And so they have moms groups. And that is Tutu on your left-hand side. She heads up the group. And she's very passionate about babies. She's a single mom. Her daughter is now in high school. No, university. Second year of university. So that's her. And on Mondays, I land up going and working with moms who've had babies in the same community that Doug goes to in Shias. So those are ladies on the right-hand side and the middle who've had their babies. And we make board books, you know, and talk about being safe in a community. It's quite funny, being safe in a community where you cook over a fire and, you know, it's hard to be safe. But there you are. We talk about things like that and what it is to play with your baby. Because sometimes we've found that moms just don't know how to play and how much development happens with them playing with their babies. And so that's what we want to do. We found there's studies show that if you've played with your baby at the beginning of life, they just develop so much better. And so that's what we're trying to do there. So there you are.
One of the other things we do with the whole care program is that the public schools, which are totally funded by the government, have cut out a lot of programs because they just can't afford it otherwise. And so home ec and theater and choir and anything musical particularly has been pretty much, the arts have been cut out of the schools, you know, so the kids can get a, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic, which is important, you know. But we have a wonderful gal. Her name's Sophie Flanagan. No, Flanagan, yeah, right. She's from the UK. She came down a few years ago with a group called Tear Fund, which is a UK like short-term mission group. We get people from them about every 6 months, guys and gals, usually between 18 and 25. And she decided to come back. She has a degree in education, and she runs our educational support program. Now, during the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, it's tutoring, it's things like that, it's keeping the kids on track. If a kid wants to go to university, we will try to get him in, or her. And we do have a bit of a scholarship fund, but it's not that big. But we will do our best to get these kids into uni. And but on Fridays, Wendy teaches a sewing class, which, what was it last?
It was so fun.
A couple of terms ago. Yeah, she had.
Amy said on earlier on in Bible study that she can sew buttons and she can thread her needle. I thought, yay! Because on... oh, Amy, you're too sweet. But it was really fun because last term, towards the end of the year last year, I had six little boys and they all hand-sewed their own pencil bags. I was very proud of them. It was very good because, I mean, we were also just talking about the fact that when you're sewing, you're measuring because you're making sure that your pattern's the right size and you're making sure your pencils and pens can fit in and that type of thing. So you're doing your math skills, you're doing your hand stitching and all stuff. So it was really fun. It's been a treat for Doug and I to be part of this.
Mm. Yeah. And you might notice that's the class Nick hangs out with the most, but yeah. that we also have a gal, she actually heads up our catering services for Etten Benny because we're always having various meetings and different things and they need to be catered. And so she used to do it professionally in the private sector. She now does it with Etten Benny. She teaches a cooking class. We've got a couple of guys that basically have a youth choir going. And then I do a drama class with the kids. And usually what happens is I've taken a parable and made it into a play, or I'll ask the kids what they, you know, want to do a play about. Well, last term, I said, what do you want to do a play about? And so they came up with various ideas, and the one that came up the most was drugs in the school. Drugs in the school. Okay. So I wrote a play about a pusher who comes in and tries to get someone to take drugs, and you know, one kid eventually does. And she was happy for about 10, 15 seconds, and then she keeled over dead. Okay. The shot on the far right is the death scene for that play. Now, the really funny thing is that the poor girl who was playing the part, she had to turn her face upstage because she was like this most of the time. Yeah, but it was actually a very moving play, I think. The kids really enjoyed it, and that's the important part. You know, they get to learn a little bit about blocking and stagecraft and that kind of thing, which is really what, you know, at that age, that's what theater is about, you know? Okay, so I'm not sure what's next.
I think we're all done. Yeah.
Oh, no. I just think this is fun, so we're going to share this real quick. The picture on the left is one day we were having kind of a time to honor all the staff, volunteers and paid people and all that kind of. By the way, we've got about 54 people paid on staff at Etten Benny, and then we've got a whole bunch of volunteers. And so this was just a fun time, and if you can click on that left side picture.
We're walking in the light of Christ with you. Yes. 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 Yes.
We are marching in the light of God.
Center when a bunch of volunteers and some patients found some things to use as drums and we started singing. And the woman dead center in the end of that picture there, her name is Tembelitle. Tembelitle is probably one of our best friends. And she's a wonderful lady. She has such a heart for God. It's just beautiful to see. And she's been promoted a couple of times. She's kind of head of the... What is her department called now? I can't remember.
They do testing for children.
Okay.
Yeah, 5 to 15 years old.
Yeah. And she also works with getting, like, clothes and different things to the families. And just that whole... Anything having to do with the kids, she's in charge of it. But she's just a wonderful lady. She's got... two little scars on each cheek because when she was probably about Nick's age, she was from a very traditional family and you get cut to let the spirits out. Yeah. It's a very traditional Zulu thing. She's married to a very traditional Zulu. He's not a Christian. Her daughters are getting to be about that age. And she's really praying that he won't decide to do that. Yeah. But so just to close up, you can probably go to the next slide, because we'll be heading back soon. All right. There's still a lot of work to do. I was reading some articles the other day that a friend sent me. He's very involved with AIDS ministries as well. And in South Africa right now, they've got two treatments, antiretroviral treatments. There's treatment A and treatment B. So if you realize you've got HIV, you go on treatment A, and hopefully you stick on it. We actually have things called adherence clubs. It's part of the prevention department. And adherence clubs is basically trying to convince people to stay on their meds. Because just like here, the doctor gives you some flu medicine, you start feeling better, and you stop taking it. Well, you might get sick again with flu. You stop taking ARV medicine, and you can't go back to treatment A because the AIDS virus will mutate, and you can't go back to treatment A. So then you start treatment B. Okay. You better stay on treatment B. Yeah. And so we work very hard to keep people on their meds. There's a fear. Actually, it's true here in the States at the moment. There's like 5, maybe 6 treatments for AIDS in the States. Each one's progressively more expensive. Right now, the South African government can provide free meds to everyone who needs it. It costs about 2,700 rand a year per person. If they were to try and give, like, treatment, what, A, B, C, D, which can be used here in the States, I mean, in the States, it's about, I don't know, 2,000, anyway, I can't remember what it is. You got to multiply everything by 13.5 for the moment. It would cost almost 300,000 rand per person to keep them on their meds. The government will not be able to do that. I mean, it'd just be impossible. The government would go bankrupt. But so we're hoping that by having adherence clubs and things like that, we can keep people educated, keep them on their meds, and keep them healthy. You know? And along the way, we all hope that many of them become Christians as well. As one of our leaders has said, you know, if we don't pray with someone when we're with them, then we're, you know, every time we get together with someone, we should pray and share some scripture, because otherwise we're not doing our jobs. Because there are groups out there that are totally secular that are trying to fight AIDS too, you know, and they're doing a good job in that regard. But we just have a different goal in the eternal sense. But yeah, and fortunately, you know, if people don't stay on their meds, we could. When Wendy and I were touring with Covenant Players back in the late 90s, early 2000, we came to many towns where we would be talking with the local pastor, and he's doing 10 funerals that week. 2 weren't AIDS-related. So we're hoping that we will not be going back to those days, you know, that we can keep people on their meds and keep them, you know, healthy. So that's really kind of why we're all over there right now. And one of the great things that has happened with Etimbeni just this last year, we had a fellow named Grant Edkins, and Grant was our director.
He was originally from Cape Town. I think he was involved with Habitat for Humanity down there. He'd come up. He'd been our director for the last, what, 4 or 5 years? Mm-hmm. Something like that. He spent a whole year training another man to take over for him. And if you look out, you've got a poster out here. And if you look at the bottom picture, not, you can't see it from here.
But you look like it. They can see.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying, go out and look at the poster about Etimbeni. In the lower right-hand corner, there's a picture of Grant. He's the European-looking fellow. And then there's another fellow, Zwe Zonkela?
Zonkela.
Zwe is the new director of Etimbeni, and he's this wonderful Zulu Christian. Just, I love the guy dearly. And he's our new director. And just for fun, if you look at, let's see, there's a big picture there. If you look at, on the left-hand side, I think it's the second row of pictures, there's a picture of a couple. I think they've got their baby in the picture. I can't remember. Yeah. That is Smakanjani and Zonke, who Smakanjani actually heads up our care program at the moment. So that's the couple that we were talking about who the child was born negative. Yeah. So wonderful people.
Yeah. Everyone here needs to go and eat their lunch.
They do. It's not even 2 yet.
And we talked about finishing early.
Oh, well.
We wanted to just say thank you very much, and we wanted to encourage you because we've talked about worship, and we see people worshiping God in all sorts of ways around us. But it's so exciting that we could be here this morning and hearing how you're worshiping God through your acts of ministry and service around you as well. So keep it up. I just wanted to tell you a little story about a little boy and a man who saw him on the porch. He was trying to ring the doorbell. And the man came by and saw, hey, he said, don't worry, let me help you with that. And rang the doorbell for the little boy, and the little boy says, good, now let's run. The thing is, and a friend of mine recently came up to me and said, Wendy, I pray that you know what the Lord wants you to do. And I encourage you as well. May the Lord tell you what He wants you to do and how to worship Him.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Thank you very much. All right. As I say in Zulu, siyabonga.